Okay, so today I want to talk about some stuff we've been doing lately on RFID, using it in nurseries to track inventory. And for those of you who don't know what RFID is, you've all been subjected to it if you've been in Florida coming here. And if you're in the hotel room, all of your hotel keys are RFID keys. So RFID is very common. It's been used for at least 15 years. It actually was started back in the 40s, was the original use of it, but it hasn't caught on until about 10, 15 years ago, and it's really been taking off rapidly in the last 5 to 6 years. Some examples of how it's used in other industries: Macy's and Bloomingdale's, their main stores in New York, are almost completely RFID for their merchandise. Marks and Spencer's in England, if you're familiar with them, they're 100% RFID except their greeting cards. The Department of Defense requires RFID tags on all of their pallets that are shipped, and it's even on some wine bottles and some other consumer merchandise where it can provide information as well. It is used in horticulture and agriculture. The top left is showing a warehouse where they're storing, I don't know exactly what that is. I think there's a kiwis in New Zealand. And the top right shows the front of that forklift. It has an RFID reader. There it is. So this is the RFID antenna and reader, and that's reading either they have the boxes individually tagged, or they might just have the pallet tagged. So that it's basically a smart forklift now. It knows what it's picking up, and you can also put RFID throughout a warehouse so that it knows where it's left the pallet as well. It is used when crops go mobile. So typically you wouldn't RFID tag carrots in a field or grapes on a vine, but once you harvest them, that's when they start tagging them. So these lugs have RFID tags embedded in them, and this big bulk bin also has RFID tags embedded in it. The way it works, so there's a couple of reader types. There are handheld readers. We have both the handheld and portable systems. The handhelds obviously are very portable. They're just like a barcode scanning gun. There's several different types that you can get. This one, you can get a printout. You could also print, and some of them can encode a label as it prints. This one just has a reader, but it can read both barcode and RFID, and you can encode the chips. You can't print, obviously, there's no printer on this one. The range for these is fairly limited, 1 to 4.5 meters. So we have gone to using portal systems, and the portal systems, they're designed to be fixed, and it consists of, this is the reader. This is where the electronics, the brain of the system is. It has 4 antenna ports, and then a power port and a serial or LAN or WAN connection to your computer system. Typically, the reader has 4 antenna ports. You can get them with 2. You can link them with relays to multiple antennas, so you're not limited to 4. In this case, in this warehouse, you could have 1 reader linked by relays to read all of the antennas. So each of these black boxes is an antenna. Okay, so the reader connects to antenna, the antenna sends the signal out, and then I'll show you the tags reflect the signal back, and that's how you know what you're reading. Most of them do have wireless capability, so it's easily integrated in a lot of systems. The cable diameter affects the length that you can run. So you need to be aware of that. We just set up one in Maryland and had to get thicker cables so that we could go the distances that we needed to. The read distance for the portal systems are about 12 meters under ideal conditions. They always tell you the ideal conditions. 4.5 to 6 meters is probably more realistic. The tags, so this is the other part of the system. You need, of course, the reader. It needs to read tags. There are several different frequencies that you can read, and they have various advantages and disadvantages. Low frequency tags a lot of times have a higher distance of read, but a higher penetration through materials, but a very low distance of read. And then when you get to the microwave type chips, they have a longer distance but very low penetration, so they don't go through materials very well. And kind of right in the middle of the pack is the ultra-high frequency tags, and those are the tags that we use. And those are the ones where we're usually getting that 6 meter read range or even greater. So that's the system that most people use in almost all of the RFID applications, unless you're doing something like the key cards to your rooms. Those would be what they call near field, so very short range reading. This is what the guts or the working parts of the tag look like. Both of these metal squiggly looking things, this is the antenna. And then in the middle is a really small chip. And so what happens is, as the RFID reader's antenna sends out a radio signal, a UHF signal, that activates the antenna, and just the activation energy, the vibration of the antenna from the radio signal, powers the chip. The chip modifies the signal that's backscattered or sent back to the reader. And the code that you put on that modifies the signal so that the reader picks up that signal, and that's how you get the unique code for each tag. So all of these tags, did I give you the memory size? Memory size might be next. All of these tags are able to provide a unique code for every item. There are trillions and trillions and trillions of numbers. So these are encoded with hexadecimal code. So you have A through F, and 0 through 9 are the digits that you can use. And then we have about 640 bits of information available. So there's trillions of codes that you can come up with. There is an electronic product code, so that's very similar to UPC codes. It is an ISO standard. If you use the EPC code in conjunction with the tag ID and the memory, the user ID that you can encode, that's what gives you the unique ability to tag every item individually. Of course, we don't use the EPC codes. We use our own codes, and so we're not necessarily going to be unique with the tags that we use, but we probably are because of what we encode it with. So there's quite a bit of memory on it. There's still not enough memory where you should put all of your data on the chip. It should be linked with a database system. So this is the system that we're using, or how we're using it. A lot of nurseries have these types of thermal printers. This is a Zebra. This one is an RZ600. The RZ lines are the ones that do thermal printing as well as RFID encoding. So this has an encoder as well. It's about the same price. It's a few hundred dollars more than a regular thermal printer. So it's not that expensive if a nursery is interested in getting into this. We're using it in nursery situations because our products are much more mobile than a lot of other agricultural products, especially container production. In this case, we're doing a project with Schmitz Nursery. They're a large primarily field-grown tree operation. They do also have some container production, and we've done RFID tagging in both types of production systems. So this is the tag that we're using. It's about a 3x17 centimeter tag. It's a slip-on tag, so it's got the keyhole. You slip it through. It has these notches to hold the tag in place. Very similar to one of the tags that they use in their production system. So what we did in this case, well, I'll show you in a second. This is our portable portal. So we wanted more power than the handheld provides, so we designed a little system where we can drag this thing around wherever we want. We can take poles with us, so we can mount these antennas at different heights, and we have different antenna sizes. So the two antennas that we're using here, there's an MTI, that's the manufacturer. It's a 30x30 centimeter, and then Laird is the other manufacturer with a 14x14 centimeter antenna. The size of the antenna, as you'll see, does affect your read effectiveness, your read ranges. So I'm going to talk about two tracking studies that we've done at Schmitz. One is loading bare root bundles into what they call pallets. So that's after they harvest them. And then the other one is inventory in their container yard during production. So this is the warehouse out in Canby, Oregon. Their process, they bring in these are their pallets. These have come in from the field where they've harvested the plants. They sort the plants by size and by species, and then they bundle them, typically bundles of 10. And then they load these bundles back into another pallet and sort it by grade. Okay, this is the point where we randomly selected loads that they were ready to put into these bins, and we tagged the plants with our RFID label, and we always tried to put our tag about the same place that they put their tag. We used two different layouts of our antennas. One I'm calling a distributed layout, where we had one antenna at 4.6 meters, two antenna at 1.2 meters. So this one's looking down. These two are looking inward through the open sides of their pallet. And then we had another antenna that was looking through the sidewall of the pallet. Okay, so these pallets are 8 feet wide and 4 feet, 8 feet at the long end, 4 feet at the open end. So two walls on the long ends and open on both of the short ends. Then we had a height layout, so we wanted to look we already had one of the MTIs at 15 feet, so we replaced that with a Laird at 15 feet, and then we put two others at 10 feet, or 3 meters. And we kept the same one here at 0.3 meters, 0.23 meters. So the load densities, we had 10 pallets per bundle. The load densities were 25 bundles or less for the low density, 25 to 75 for the medium densities, and over 75 for the high density. And you can see our three reps and the number of bundles per rep. So multiply those by 10 to get the number of plants. This is the type of data that we get. So we have we know the range of tags that we used. If we discarded a tag, and we did have tag failures, but it was usually the keyhole that ripped. It was not the RFID antenna that was damaged. We get time that we started, time that we ended, so we can start getting data for labor tracking. And then we have manual counts by their crew and then by our technicians. We also get antenna diagnostics, so we can see which antennas are reading the tags, how many times each tag is read. So on average, we have 171 tags, or one tag is read 171 times, a maximum of 1,300 times.
We have 1 minute.
You started me late. Okay. Okay. So this is the antenna locations. So at 4.6 meters, the two at the open sides, or the one that threw the pallet, and then the open ends. And how many tags were missed. So we missed, on average, three tags with the overhead antenna, so obviously the best location at the distributed layout, and we didn't miss any when we did the height layout. Okay, so one of the problems is as they load, the roots get piled up, and then the roots are inhibiting the signal transmission. We did have a tag on the pallets. The pallet tag was read every time, so we can track the number, the bundles loaded in the pallet with the pallet tags. We also monitored trucks as they moved through, and we did get reading of the tags when they are on the same side as the antenna. So those pallets are on this truck.
You can finish up in 30 seconds.
Okay, 30 seconds. So the container yard, we did put tags on trees in the containers. We used three different types of trees for different canopy types. We made three passes on the north and south sides of the blocks. And we'll just get to the data. Our reliable read range is when we read all of the tags with all six passes. So we're getting about 11 meters as a reliable read range to 8 meters as a reliable read range. Okay. So I will finish there. We did do a June reading when we had a canopy. We had a little bit less read range. So with that, I will take questions if Richard gives me time, but I definitely want to thank my co-authors.
You have All right. to,